In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
The Lord gives us some very difficult words to follow today. He says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself or herself, take up his or her cross, and follow me. It's a rather simple saying, and really very straightforward. It means that if you want to be on this road with me, this is what you've got to do. There are a lot of people who, at the time, to say, well, take up your cross, what does that mean? Because Jesus had not been yet crucified. They did not know what that really meant. But it's a call to us that we do understand, and that we're called to not only understand, but to live. Because, you see, it doesn't matter if we understand it at all. In fact, I don't think we really understand the first part of this, that what we're really being called to, the kind of sacrifice in our lives and in our souls, so as to be with Christ, what that really requires of us. But he says simply, if you want to be with me, if you want to be my disciple, then you must do what I am going to do. So this is a very difficult task, and a very high standard to live up to. You want your children to be disciples of Christ, then this is what you must teach them. This Christianity. And then not only that, but then they must see you living it. Otherwise, it's a falsehood and a delusion. And so there are a lot of different ways in which each of us in our daily lives is called to exercise this way of following Christ, taking up his cross. And ultimately, it means denial of ourselves. And so there again, if you're a parent, you must deny yourself, and then you must teach your children self-denial. If you want your child to be a disciple of Jesus, your child must learn self-denial. Your child will first see that when you deny yourself, so that when they see that they are denied or that they are being shown how to deny themselves, they won't be overwhelmed. They'll see that that is the norm for Christian life, that we deny ourselves, that we die to ourselves. And that this is what the call is to the fasting in the church and the spiritual disciplines of all sorts. We are called to follow the commandments of Christ. Not the way of the world, but the commandments of Christ. And to forsake the things in the world that would lead us away from him. To embrace a cross which is painful, and which is bloody, and which calls forth this kind of temporary sadness, so that we can approach the Christ who offers all joy. It involves this idea of self-denial to the point of surrender. Surrender. This sense of the surrender of Jesus, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. That's the kind of surrender that we're being called to live, in surrendering our lives to Christ. Here are some of the things that we have to surrender. Well, we're called to surrender our life to Christ, which, by the way, is his gift to us in the first place. The very fact that we breathe and that we live and that we walk and that we move, that life is the life that God has given to us, and that's what we surrender to him. We have to surrender our wills to Christ. We think sometimes that, well, we can make one decision and we will have made our choice for the Lord at some point in our life, and God willing, we will do that. We have to. If there is no decision to follow Christ, then we'll never follow Christ. But you know, it's not a one-time decision, as some would have you believe. In fact, it sets the rest of our life decisions to follow after, to proceed from that primary decision. And what it does, if we do this, what this does is puts to death the words that we hear the Holy Fathers use. This is one that gets me every time I hear the canon of St. Andrew of Crete. Stubborn self-will. To be crucified to Christ, to surrender our will to Christ, is to put to death our stubborn self-will. The end to the folly, for us at least, of the world's choice mentality. That there are choices. If we just get, you know, our choices right, we'll have happiness in this world. Maybe to a certain degree that's true. But what we do is surrender our choice to Christ. Lord, thy will be done. What does that mean? Lord, it's your choice. If you say go here, I go here. If you say go there, I go there. Do this, do that. We follow what the Lord would have us do. That involves the big decisions in life and the small decisions as well. We surrender our bodies to Christ. That is perhaps most beautifully exemplified in the sacrificial offering of the martyrs that we commemorate again and again and again during Great Lent. Those who gave up their bodies, and indeed everything that they were, and suffered physically. And in our own way, the fasting of Great Lent and the physical ascetical disciplines of Great Lent are a way of giving up our bodies, a surrendering of our bodies, a surrendering of our bodily habits to the Lord, whether that be in our eating or sleeping or what we do while we're awake to the Lord. We're called then also to surrender our comfort and the comfort that comes from our possessions. To do something that's uncomfortable. The cross is uncomfortable. And the more we seek after comfort, the less prepared for the cross we are. We're not following Christ at all. I would dare say that if your Christian life here in St. Nicholas Church is comfortable, I'm not doing my job. I used to say that the preacher is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. It's the prophetic power of the gospel. We have to surrender our comforts so that we may love Christ and follow Him. Surrendering our pleasures, which are related to our comforts, our pleasures, the things that bring us simple pleasure. Realizing that oftentimes we will choose to stay in our pleasurable oasis of life once we've created it, rather than go off into the desert and meet the Lord, as the Lord himself did during his 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, or St. John the Baptist. We have to surrender our thoughts, and in some cases our aspirations and life dreams, our ambitions, to Christ. Crucify them on the altar of the Lord. Is the thing that you're chasing after in this life really what God wants you to be doing? It's for you to surrender that to Him. And nobody else can do that for you, by the way. Oh, and that also means surrendering not only your life ambitions, but those of your children. Nothing worse than to crucify your child on the altar of your desires. It's a double death. It's your death, but it's also your child's death, as a child is forced to become an idol of you and duly worshipped and duly praised in a worldly way unto their destruction. We have to surrender our worldview. This is part of what it means to become a Christian, is to start seeing the world as God would have us see it. And if we surrender our worldview, then all of a sudden we're going to start thinking about the effects of the demons. Because that's the Christian worldview. The Christian worldview sees that evil is caused by the demons. And that we all have a battle. That unless we die to ourselves in all of these things, we're going to lose that battle to the demons. Christ himself allowed himself to be so tempted by the evil one in the Garden of Gethsemane. Tormented. We have to find victory in our thoughts and allow God's will and reign to abide there. This means that we have to submit our egotistical desires of every sort and surrender those to the Lord. We have to surrender our relationships to Him. Oftentimes our desire to be above others or to judge them, to see ourselves superior to them, to seek revenge from them. To take up the cross of Christ means to surrender our time to Him. To surrender our time to Him. In prayer, in worship, in love, and in service. You see, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you've got to do these things. But you know, here's the interesting thing. The opposite is true. Or there's a parallel. If you surrender your time to Christ, there's a good chance you're going to become a follower of Him. If you surrender your desire to be above others to Christ, and if you die to that, if you put aside revenge, judgment of others, unforgiveness, all those things, then you're going to move closer to being like Christ. If you surrender your ego and your drive for me to the Lord, then you're going to see that that's how He was. It wasn't about Him. It was about the salvation of the world and others that He came into the world. If you surrender your thoughts to Him, then like Him, you will gain victory over the devil. And the torments that you're experiencing from the devil will eventually, in time, ultimately at our death, abate. If you surrender your comfort to the Lord, you'll identify with Him out in the desert. And you'll see that you can do okay, even if you're not comfortable. If you surrender your body to the Lord, you will discover that the Lord had taken on your body. And that fasting, okay, so you may not do 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, but you know, you can do a day without eating meat or dairy products, or 2 days or 5 days or a whole of Great Lent, or go a day or two without eating anything at all. You'll realize all of a sudden that your body is not the slave to food that you thought it was. And so you'll find life in that. If you surrender your will to Christ, and you make not just one decision to follow Him, but decisions over and over and over again, each one of those decisions will be a step down the road following Christ as His disciple, getting closer and closer to the crucifixion. And ultimately to that place where you will have surrendered your life to Christ. And by the way, when we die, our death will either be a surrender to Christ in the final moment, like His death, or it's going to be something very, very different. It's going to be utter dismay and gloom, sadness, depression, because we will keep trying, even into the death itself, to hold on to what little we have in this life. And so you see, in this process of surrender, the Lord is calling us to follow Him, to do all of these different things. But you see, if and as we do these things, surrendering our time, our desires to be above others, our egotistical desires, our pleasures, our bodies, our comfort, our will, we're drawing closer and closer to Christ. We will be free then and able to actually follow Him. Because right now, you see, we can't follow Christ. We're dragging too much. He's going down the road. We can't keep up because we've got too much garbage that's hanging from us. And so we have to be willing and able to shed these things so that we can follow Him all the way, ultimately in a lightness of spirit and of soul. This is a life work, brothers and sisters. It's a life work, and it takes a lifetime to complete. Would that we could complete it immediately. I tell people this sometimes when I was young. I always wished I would be a martyr. Oh, then you get it over quick, you know? You don't have to put up with all of this other stuff. Of course, the Lord sees fit that that is not wise for me, nor salvific. But you know, this is our life work. Why? Because this is work that leads to life. Because you see, what's at the end of the cross is everything. It's joy, it's life, it's the ultimate comfort from the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. It is the clarification of our thinking. It's the alignment of our wills with that which is good and holy and perfect. And that which brings joy, ultimately, which this world cannot offer to us, or can only pretend to offer. It's the thing that will lead us to fulfillment, but the only way to get there is to shed our temporary delusions and to surrender these things unto the Lord. This is our goal of Great Lent. And the cross is our way of surrendering ourselves to Christ, to be crucified with Him. So may the Lord, as we go through the remainder of the Holy Fast, lift up our minds and our hearts, order our wills, give us strength to set aside our dependencies on our pleasures in our bodies, and ultimately in our souls, to give us peace and the desire to truly be with Him, to be crucified with Him, to live with Him, and to reign with Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.